Okay, tonight if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Genesis. And we're going to look at a couple of verses in the third chapter. And then we're going to go back to Ezekiel. And, you know, when you're dealing with basically any subject, the fundamentals are so important to an understanding. And it's amazing to me how many theologians seem to, they talk about the fundamentals, they emphasize the attributes of God at the first of the book of theology, and then after that they seem to forget it all and go on their way and preach away which seemeth right unto men. And what the reason that they preach that way is because pretty obvious by our attendance that you know, if you're going to have a big crowd, you got to tickle man's fancy, and the natural man thinks he's good, and he thinks, you know, he's going to go to heaven because of the life that he lives, if there is a heaven. He's not even convinced whether there is or isn't, but all you have to do to go to heaven, as far as what most people think, is die, you know, and you automatically have an inheritance in heaven. And of course, that's false. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, when the serpent beguiled Eve, he did it subtly. You know, he altered what God had said. You know, ye shall not surely die. God said, thou shalt surely die. And then Eve then, in defense, and this is amazing. It's a common trait. When you get into an argument with someone and you really don't know the answers, you start making up answers. You know, it's very common. And so she said, well, we can eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the tree in the midst of the garden, we can't eat of it. Neither can we touch it, she added that, lest we die. God said, thou shalt surely die. So the moment that she did that, she was on an unscriptural ground, apart from the truth of the Word of God, and she was, you know, subject to being deceived. And so once she ate of the tree, she offered it to her husband. And we don't learn this until we get over to the book of Romans. But we find out that Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. And so the reason that Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was he threw himself upon the grace of God. And he ate of the tree. It plunged them both into sin, and as a consequence of that, with Adam being the federal head of the human family, and we read about that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. So when Adam sinned, we sinned, and all of his posterity were counted to have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now we've looked at it. And what did that tree offer? A knowledge of good and evil. By definition, what is a knowledge of good and evil? It's what man calls morality. So over in Proverbs, and we talked about this last time, in Proverbs, in the 14th Proverb and then the 16th Proverb, Solomon wrote, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The which and the that, same word in the Hebrew, it just shows there was a different translator. You know, one used which, one used that, and in that context, they mean exactly the same thing. What seems right to a man? Well, when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what is that? You know, by definition, what is a knowledge of good and evil? You get Webster out, it's morality. And all of the religions of the world, you know, every single one, is based upon man's morality. What man can do for God, not what God has done for man. And that's the problem, because man wants to think that he is good enough. You know, you see all kinds of ridiculous things. I mentioned last time when Davis Love won a particular golf tournament. Just as he hit the shot into 18, the sun shone through the clouds. It had been cloudy and raining and so forth, and it opened up, and the announcers, Davis Love's father's helping him, you know, win this tournament. And like I said last time, yeah, that's cheating. but it is sentimental calf slobber. I mean, it is so ridiculous what man thinks. Now, let's go over to the book of Romans, or 1 Corinthians. Let's go there first. And 1 Corinthians is the 15th chapter. And 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, it says, and of course, when Corinthians is written, it was fairly one of the earlier epistles. And already there was a denial of the resurrection from the dead. And so Paul is pointing out, and if Christ be not risen, in verse 14, then is our preaching vain, and the faith of you. It's got a definite article before it in the Greek. Not your faith, but the faith. And what is the faith? The faith is the body of revealed truth concerning Jesus Christ and his person and his work. And it's our faith and the faith which produces salvation. So he says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ from the dead, whom he raised not up. If it's true that there's no resurrection, then how could God raise Christ from the dead? So he's throwing the argument back upon them. And if Christ be not raised, and again, before the word faith is the definite article, the faith, your faith and the faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. See, so the faith is the body of revealed truth concerning Jesus Christ and his person and work, because there's not a, there's not a good man upon the earth, or a man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Back in Proverbs 14 and 16, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ. And we had that service. When I was thinking about that last night, my mind was so clear, so many things I wanted to say. And when I actually prayed today, my brains fell out on the ground. But we got Joanne's ashes committed to the earth. She's not there. Those are bones that were ground up, and not very many, really, because we gave them permission to use her body for medical research. And I think she had such a severe case of osteoporosis that there are probably samples of her bones in laboratories, in medical schools, in hospitals all around the country, doctor's office, and so forth. But it makes no difference. You can be eaten by a shark. You can be, ground up in Fargo. The guy dumped his buddy into the wood chipper, It makes no difference what you do to this body. God, and a lot of people won't be cremated, even though buying a casket and a burial plot today is absurdly high. But, God's going to crawl all those elements back together that form the body of my wife, your mother, your grandmother, so on and so forth. You know, and it makes no difference where those bones are or anything. When it comes time, when God says, "Come up hither," it's all coming back together at the first resurrection. But he's not in that body any longer anyway. Remember, in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said to the disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." And in my Father's house, and then the translator went crazy, are many mansions, you know, dwelling places. What is this body for your soul? It's a dwelling place. Okay? And so in my Father's house are many dwelling places. When Paul was stoned on his first missionary journey, stoned to death and dragged out to the dump, his body was laying in the dump. But in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. Such a one caught up to the third heaven and saw things that were not lawful to be uttered." He didn't know whether it was in his body or out of his body. Well, obviously, he was in the body that God went to prepare for him. See, that's what he promised. So the soul left, was in a body in heaven, and so he couldn't tell whether he was in his body or out of his body. See? And it happened so rapidly and so smoothly, you know, he couldn't tell. "And such an one saw things that were not lawful to be uttered." Why? If we knew too much about heaven, all of the glories of it, there wouldn't be a single one of us that would want to remain here in this miserable world and plod along. But so God doesn't tell us too much about heaven, because we are his servants. You know, in the scripture, Paul called himself a bond servant. And when I hear all of this business about slavery with the blacks, you know, everyone in this room is related to someone who at some time or other was enslaved to somebody. If you go back far enough in history, you know, the Assyrians ruled the world. The Persians ruled the world. The Greeks ruled the world. The Romans ruled the world. And everybody that they ruled was in bondage to them. You know, that's why Jesus told the Jews, if a man tells you to carry his pack a mile, carry it too. You know, because a Roman soldier could come along and say, "Here, Jew, carry this for me." And the Jews hated that. You know. And I imagine you would too. You know. And if you refuse, he can hit you, and it's perfectly legal for him to hit you, to smite you on the cheek. He said, if he smites you on the right cheek, turn the left, let him hit you on the other side. And that drove the Jews crazy. And the reason it did is because they thought they were justified before God by the lives that they lived. And how could, you know, since we're God's chosen people, how could we be subject to such things? You know? But everybody is subject to sin. Everybody's enslaved to sin, really. And even though we're saved by God's grace through faith, we still have a sin nature. So let's take that now. And we already looked at and go back to the book of Romans and pick up here where we were last time. And so he says in verse 17 of Romans chapter 5, "For if by one man's offense," that was Adam's, "not death, the death," a specific death, both spiritual and physical death, "reigned by one." You know, so Eve was deceived, then Adam ate of the tree. So then, because Adam was the federal head of the human family, we are all counted to have eaten of that tree when Adam ate of it. So we're born how? Dead in trespasses and sin. Now, if we're born dead in trespasses and sin, what possibility is there that we could live to the standard of God's holy law. And so the law was a schoolmaster. That's an attendant slave that instructed children, a pedagogos. Yeah. And what chance is there that we could live to that standard? And the Jews didn't. While Moses was on the mount, they told Aaron, make us a god. And so he made the bull god and inscribed on the pedestal that God sat on, you know, a bull. And the reason they worship the bull is because if you've ever seen a bull mount a cow, yeah, they're pretty well endowed, you know. And the Egyptian priest, the Jewish women, I don't remember the verse right now. I think it's over in Jeremiah. I'll have to look it up. But anyway, over 1,000 years after they came out of Egypt, they were still talking. You know, if you've seen The Godfather, and the women, you know, Sonny Corleone, his wife, talking about Sonny, who was supposed to be very well endowed, you know. And that's what the Jewish women were doing. Does that sound like we're holy and righteous and just? Yeah. And people are always trying to pretend that they can satisfy God's law by the lives that they live. And it has to be a pretense, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So if by one man's offense, verse 17, the death, that's both spiritual and physical, reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of righteousness, or of grace, and of the gift of not righteousness, the righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's charged to our account, okay, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, now we're drawing a comparison. As by the offense of one, that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Okay? Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, the only way we can be justified before God is not by the lives that we live, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? And when He quickens the Word of God to our hearts, and we believe that, you know, the world looks at us and they say, they're just as rotten as anybody else. And yeah, it's true. You know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But we're not telling the world we're better than they are. We're telling the world that God saved us by His grace, and grace is unmerited favor. So it goes on to say, moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. So why did God give the Jews the law? Because the Jews thought, we're God's chosen people. You know, just because we're born Jews, that gives us an automatic inheritance in heaven. You know? But it doesn't. So it's if by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So what was the law for? To say, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. Yeah. But what was given with the law? The sacrificial system, which says if you believe that God is going to one day become a man through the virgin birth and live His life on this earth and fulfill every jot and tittle of the law and fulfill all righteousness, if you believe that, then you make the appropriate sacrifice. And of course, the sacrificial system was, it was God acting out what Jesus would ultimately do. Yeah. And you've got to remember, these people were illiterate. The priests could read, and they would read all day long to the people. You think, I preach a long time. They would stand on the Sabbath and listen to the Word of God being read all day long. Yeah. And what was it doing? The law was condemning them. But nobody likes to be condemned. So as we read over in the 7th chapter of Mark, full well you reject the commandments of God that you might keep the traditions of men. So the law was designed to make them guilty, and the Jews then were to bring the appropriate sacrifice, which said, we believe that one day you'll send your son to stand in our stead. That's why Isaiah wrote, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And so, who is Jesus Christ? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was whom? God, or God was the Word. So, he came unto his own, that is, unto his own nation, and his own people received him not. But to as many as received him, over in John chapter 1, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So, that's where we are, you know. The Jews rejected Jesus Christ, and then God took the gospel to the Gentiles, and in this age, both Jews and Gentiles are saved by God's grace through faith. So then he says in verse 1 of the, let's read 21 in the 5th chapter, that as the sin hath reigned unto the death, that's both spiritual and physical, so might the grace of God, that would be proper to say that, but there's a definite article in front of grace. So might the grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life, how? By Jesus Christ. So we've got all these religions in the world, and they're all based upon man's morality. So you don't dare say anything about man's morality, and so, you don't dare say anything about the way people live, so we have to accept the LGBTQ community, we've got to accept everything in the day in which we live, because otherwise we're bigoted, we're racist, we're homophobic, we're this, we're that. If it wasn't so ridiculous, it'd be funny. It's totally ridiculous, And, of course, they get on Bloomberg for some of his remarks that he's made, And what man hasn't made locker room remarks? And what woman hasn't women can be very catty. Whoever's not there will talk about her. Okay. And because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So do we have to pretend to the world that when we hear some epithet spoken, what are you gasping for if you don't know what it means? If you're so pure, then how do you know what it means? It's totally foolhardy what man thinks and believes. And Eric was talking about when he made that trip to Rome. He was like, if you want to become a Catholic, just come on over here and we'll sprinkle a little water on you. And that'll, make you a Roman Catholic and automatically give you a gift in heaven. A little water on the head? It's not water baptism that saves. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, the Jews were not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but they were preserved in Sheol, in the grave, until Jesus led captivity captive, and then we read about them in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews as the souls of just men, made perfect. They couldn't go to heaven until Christ died and rose from the dead, and when he did, he led captivity captive. So from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, there's only one Savior. But he's presented in the Old Testament through the sacrificial system. Those sacrifices, the book of Hebrews tells us, they could never take away sin. But they were offered to show the faith of the individual that he believed that God would send the Savior. So then he goes on to say here, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin, that's Adam's sin, that the grace of God may abound? Definite article before sin and grace. God forbid, or how, may it never be, how shall we that are, what? You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, died with Christ. See, we were buried with Christ. So, over in 1 John chapter 1, let's turn over there. A verse of scripture that befuddled me for many years until I finally one day when I was praying and saying, forgive me my sins, forgive me my sins, forgive me my sins, you know. And all of a sudden, bang, it hit me. And so I got my Bible out, then I got my Greek New Testament out. And it says, if we confess our sins, verse 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that sounds like I've got to confess my sins every day. But if we look at this in the Greek, it's in the subjunctive mood. That means you may or may not do it. And then the consequences of it are also in the subjunctive mood, that if you do, then let me read it the way it should be. If we should confess our sins, He, in the time past, was faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So He died in the past. He was buried in the past. He rose from the dead in the past. And so when we believe on Him in the present, we're counted to have died with Him in the past, to have been raised with Him in the past, and be actually, according to the book of Ephesians, seated with Him already in heaven. We're not there, but it's written that way, so we see the absolute certainty of what we have, you know. And, you know, you go to work every day, and occasionally you get a chance to talk to somebody, and then they're watching you like a hawk, you know, to see, is Eric Mullen really, you know, a believer? You know, let's see if he can do something wrong. And I saw him do something that I'd never do, so I must be better than he is. And that's the old, you know, accused. He doesn't mind. It's the old accuse and excuse thing. You know, I could name any one of us, you know, because we've all experienced it. They accuse us of not being what we proclaim to be, children of God. How can you be a child of God? I saw you drink a beer. You know, I had a guy at First Baptist Church. He said, I saw Andre go into a bar. Yeah, I went in there to get my father, mother-in-law, and father-in-law. I'd been playing golf, and they were waiting for us. And when we finished playing golf, we went and got them, went in the dining room, had a dinner, and I ordered a Jack Daniels.
There
you go. Yeah. And you know that when I did that, before, you know, we had placed our order, and I said, while we're waiting for them to bring the food, why don't we bless this? And so I bowed and prayed, you know. And later on, Brother Stewart said to me, he said, that really hit me. You know, because before he was saved, he had a little problem with drinking too much. And then, of course, then after he got saved, was in the ministry for a while. He preached against it all the time. But then when they broke up his church, he went back to drinking again. But, you know, the man was God, a man of God. And there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You know. But he said that hit me because we were about to ingest the alcohol and the food and you ask a blessing upon it. Well, if you can't pray for it, don't drink it. You know. And there's nothing wrong with it. You know. The scriptures back in Proverbs tell us, give wine unto those who are of a heavy heart because it lightens your spirit a bit. And strong drink unto those who are ready to perish. You know, for years We didn't have the anesthesias that we have now, and in fact, Abigail Adams had a mastectomy with no anesthesia. A leather strap between her teeth, and they're cutting her breast off. You know, and you know, believe me, medicine's advanced quite a ways, especially when it comes to anesthetizing you so that they can perform a surgery. But in the past, Civil War, guy gets shot in the leg, couldn't save it, they cut it off with a saw and a knife, you know, with no anesthesia. You know? And so, yeah, they basically put a thick leather strap so they wouldn't bite through it in their mouth or you know, something that they couldn't bite into. And you just, you know, and hopefully you pass out so they can finish the job. So let's come back to the sixth chapter. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin that the grace may abound? So we've been saved by God's grace. So we're accepted in the Beloved, and it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that He saved us. But shall we continue on in the idea of by the devil's morality, his knowledge of good and evil? Now, let's go back to Genesis and read a little bit further and see what happened when they ate of that tree. Now, Genesis chapter 3. And so, and when the woman saw in verse 6 that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Now, they'd been naked ever since God had created them. But without a sin nature, there's no problem. But the moment you have a sin nature, Adam had a new perspective concerning Eve. And Eve had a new perspective concerning Adam. And so, and they heard in verse 8, the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now God came to fellowship with them day by day. But when he came this day, they hid themselves. You know? And so, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Now, God's an omniscient God. You know, there's nothing hidden to his eyes. He knew exactly where he was. He asked that question for Adam's sake. "Hey, Adam, where are you?" And the Lord God called unto Adam. When we read that, he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." Afraid? They've been meeting with God day after day after day until they ate of that tree. Now they have a knowledge of good and evil, and they're afraid of God. Because with that knowledge of good and evil, you know, man's morality, then they're uncomfortable in the presence of God. And he said, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" Okay. Now, what are the religions of the world based upon? Man's morality. Where did it come from? It came from the serpent. Who was the serpent? Yeah. Lucifer, the devil. Okay. So he introduced the idea that we could have a right relationship with God by knowing the difference between right and wrong. And so when they ate of that tree, they violated God's commandment. So now they have a sin nature. And with a sin nature, then they're ashamed in the presence of God because they have things in their minds that were never in their minds before. You know? So everybody's trying to get to heaven by morality, but morality sends you to hell because it came from the devil. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And that's true, but it's a little bit of passing the buck. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. He deceived me. Now she's, passing the buck to the serpent. And it's true. He deceived her. But if she'd listened to what God said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt die. Okay? So, was there any question about what was going to happen? God can't lie. Okay? But she was deceived. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. We have no idea what the serpent looked like before. He was, like Lucifer. He was lifted up in pride because of his great beauty. So I imagine the serpent, whatever form it was in, was a beautiful animal. Household pet, I guess. Eve didn't have any problem, talking with the serpent. But the serpent, she wasn't afraid of it like most women are terribly afraid of writhing reptiles, except those that do a striptease with a boa constrictor around their neck. Okay. And so he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. Who is the seed of the woman that's going to bruise the serpent's head? This seed is singular. It's Jesus Christ. And then later on, he promises Abraham that of Abraham's seed, again, it's singular. It's not his posterity. It's one person in his lineage, Jesus Christ, by means of the virgin birth. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception and sorrow. And thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Well, in the present day, we have the feminist movement, who is in total rebellion to the fact that women were made subject as one of the consequences of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were made subject to the man. It has nothing to do with sexism or anything of the sort. It has to do with a curse. And when they rebel against it, they're really rebelling against God. And really, a man finds a woman that he loves and he marries her. And if there's genuine love there, he doesn't lord it over her. He would give his life for her, But she's supposed to be, and it's primarily spiritually, in subjection to him, okay? So, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground. And what? All the days of our life, how do we make a living? And we do a whole lot of sweating. And he says, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles. Before we put the Joanne's ashes out there beside the church today, I got the little claw out and did some weeding out there, and boy, with my heart out of rhythm, I can really feel it when I do do a little weeding. It's part of life. Death is part of life. The problems that we have in life are all because Eve was deceived, and Adam, out of his love for her, his wife, gave himself for her. And therefore, we were all plunged into sin. And therefore, yeah, we shall work all the days of our life. And as a consequence of that, dying, thou shalt die. You know, I'm 87 years old. Joanne was 84 and went home to be with the Lord in December. And one day, the Lord's going to give that same call to me. When? I don't know. It may be with all of us. The trumpet may sound and we may all go together. You know, I think it's that close. But otherwise, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. And we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're not going to be judged for sin because Christ was judged for our sins. We're going to be judged for what we've done in the body, which is the church, by faith, for the gifts that He's given us. And, you know, and all of the things that we do to make it possible for the gospel to be preached here. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it all fits into the picture of getting the gospel out. Now, I can't change anybody's mind. Only God can do that. I can't, by you know, sales technique or any of the things that, you know, people use in the world, we can't win anybody to Christ that way. We're told faith comes by hearing. And Jesus said, go into all the world and do what? Preach. That's cry aloud the Word of God. That's God's sole means of saving souls. Yeah. And so we put forth the Word of God, and we can do things to try to interest people to come and hear it. But, you know, it's not a matter of sales technique. It's a matter of sticking to the truth of the Word of God. And when we do that, you know, when God quickens it to our hearts, it all makes perfect sense. But until then, people are going to call us hypocrites, you know, actors. That's what hypocrites is in the Greek. They're going to call us hypocrites. They're going to say, I saw you do this and I saw you do that. And we can't deny it because we have. But our salvation is not based upon what we've done. Our salvation is based upon what Jesus Christ did in our stead. And then it was preached, and until the Spirit of God quickened it and made it alive to us so that we could believe it, it just went over our heads, you know. And so we just keep preaching it and trust that one day we will see more souls saved, and we know that we're in the latter days. And as we get down to the end of the age, you know, we're going to be taken out of this world. And at that point in time, remember in the 10th chapter of Matthew, and with this we'll close tonight, but in the 10th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said to his disciples, he chose them at that point in time, and then he said to them, you will not be gone over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. Well, those men all lived and died in the first century, and the gospel was spread. You know, the Apostle Paul took it to the Gentiles, and the other disciples dealt primarily with the Jews. But, you know, after a while, the Jews, you know, they were still trying to keep the law and all of that, and we have an inheritance simply because we're Jews. And so they didn't listen to the message that was being preached. And they should have recognized they couldn't be justified by the law because none of them could keep it. But what they did is what we do. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And that's what the Jews did. And so it took them farther and farther away from the truth. And so we know, because God promised, you know, and so all Israel shall be saved. We'll be taken out. We'll be 7 years with the Lord in heaven. And then He'll return with all of the saints. And when His feet touch upon the Mount of Olives, those Jews that were that fled from the presence of the Antichrist because they wouldn't be able to buy or sell without worshiping Him, they're going to flee. into the wilderness and be preserved, and then they're going to come back to Jerusalem when his feet touch the Mount of Olives, and they're going to believe on him and be saved, and so all Israel shall be saved. After that, he's going to establish a kingdom for 1,000 years, and we're going to rule and reign with him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. Pray that you'll bless it to our heart. Pray that as we look at these beginning things in Genesis, and we see them fulfilled throughout the Word of God, one gospel from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. And it is by faith in Jesus Christ, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And whether it's politically correct or not, we know that it is the truth because you said it. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.